Hello. I am really excited about kicking off this brand new series we are calling I Heart Chula Vista, I Heart CV. Wherever we have a church, we are calling that series I Heart That City. So I want to welcome any church that's joining in, whether you are I Heart Imperial Beach or I Heart Venice or I Heart Tijuana. We want to serve and bless and love each of our cities well. And specifically, here in Chula Vista, I personally love Chula Vista. I've lived in this city for 17 years combined as a resident. All three of my kids have been born here. I think this is a pretty cool place. Do you know what Chula Vista is translated to? Amazing tacos. That's what it means. No, it actually means beautiful views, which is really true of our city. Our city rises up from the waters of the bay on the west side, and it goes all the way to the foothill mountains on the east. And so we have beautiful views from sunrise to sunset, which actually our city logo celebrates this. I don't know if you knew our city logo in Chula Vista. This is actually what it is. It celebrates the fact that we have amazing sunrises over the foothill mountains and the sun sets into the beautiful waters of the bay and the Pacific Ocean. Chula Vista has experienced crazy growth in the last 100 years. You have any idea what the population of our city was 100 years ago? 1917. What do you think the population of Chula Vista was? Loser buys lunch. Guess with someone next to you. Closest number without going over. It's like Price is Right, okay? So close, right now, guess with somebody, I'm serious. What do you think the population of the city of Chula Vista was 100 years ago? Guess. Five more seconds, hurry. You ready? 1,873 people. Our city had under 2,000 people in it just 100 years ago. Now we're cresting a quarter of a million people. We are the second largest city in San Diego County. That's crazy. We are the seventh largest city in all of Southern California, the 14th largest city in all of California. And you want to know where we rank nationally, population-wise? Number 76, baby. Top 100, Chula Vista. All right? And our city is growing again like crazy. They're building new homes in the Otay Ranch community, the Millennial Project. And when those projects are finished, they estimate another 10,000 people in our neighborhood fairly quickly. And so Chula Vista is this amazing place. One of the other things that I love about Chula Vista is the uniqueness of where it sits creates beautiful diversity. We are 7.5 miles from the border and 7.5 miles from downtown. And really just because of where we sit and where Navy bases are located and proximity to downtown, proximity to businesses that are just across the border, Chula Vista is this beautiful diversity of people. We have everything. We have Latino, gringo, a couple of us made it out here, all right? Asian, African American, Native American. We got a little bit of everything else. It's one of the things I personally love most about our city, the diversity of the school my kids are growing up in, the diversity of our church. It's one of my favorite things about our community. We also have amazing weather, and Chula Vista has some great outdoor spaces and parks because none of us can afford great indoor spaces, right? So we have to enjoy the outdoors, and Chula Vista people know how to do that. Every weekend, there are incredible parties at all of our parks. Chula Vista people know how to party. I mean, everybody is having a birthday party or something. Every park on a weekend is full of people. And what I like to do is go to those parks, and if the parties seem large enough, I just go in to see what kind of food they have, because they're not going to know whether I'm really there or not. Which leads me to one of the other great things about Chula Vista is our food. I think we have the best taco shops, from Tacos El Gordo to Lolita's and everything in between. Did you know Olympic athletes train here? That's why I moved here 17 years ago. To watch Olympic athletes train. That's why I moved here, okay? We have this amazing, cool, you know, not so little town anymore. But you want to know what makes a great city? It's not great neighborhoods and new neighborhoods and clean streets and good school scores and convenient shopping and amazing weather. All those things are fine and nice. What makes a great city is great people. People that are willing to respect one another. No matter the difference of belief or culture or economic status, people that are willing to show one another dignity. People that are willing to get to know one another. What makes a city great are people that will care for others and ultimately love other people so well that they are willing to serve and meet their needs. That's what makes cities great. That's what makes neighborhoods great. That's what makes homes and families great. And what we're all about here is we want to be a part of helping make individuals great, become the people that God's created them to be. And then ultimately, we want to be a community of people that bless our city and represent Jesus well. That's what this series is all about. This series actually comes, I would say, out of a question that we started asking ourselves as a leadership team here at the church over 7 years ago. 7 years ago, we went to a conference, and the person leading the conference threw this question out to all the pastors and everybody that was there. And here was the question they asked. It's a pretty tough, honest question. If our church ceased to exist, would our community even notice or care? If our church ceased to exist, we just said, hey, this has been a good run, but we're done. Thanks for coming. We'll never see you again. Like, if we just stopped meeting, would our church, would the community cease to notice or even care? And that's a question that we started asking ourselves. And here's what we decided. We decided that we want to be the kind of church that people would look at us and say, I don't believe what those crazy East Lakers believe, but man, I'm sure glad they're in our city. Like, I don't believe what they believe, but I'm so glad they're here because the way they love and the way they serve, it makes our city a better place. And we decided that's the kind of church we wanted to be. And I'm happy to tell you, I feel like over the last 7 years, we've done the best job of that in the history of our church. Some of you have been around here, you know some of the things that we do regularly, annually, yearly, ongoing to meet needs right here in our very own community. Every single year, we partner and host local schools and just say, you know what, we'll give you our facility, open it up, we'll give you our staff time on those days to serve you so you have great places to host promotions and graduations in shade and air conditioning where you can hear what's being done. Every single year for, I think, about 4 or 5 years now, maybe more, we've hosted a prom for students in our community with special needs just to bless them and let them know that they are loved. We serve our local police here in Chula Vista by partnering with an organization called Code 7, a chaplaincy program that exists to encourage our police officers and bless their families, and we partner with them regularly. We partner with a couple different organizations that serve the homeless right here in Chula Vista. We've hosted so many foster care training opportunities right here on our property to help care for kids that don't have families that are in the position to care for them anymore. So many people in our church have adopted and done foster care, blessing kids right here in this community. We've done clothing drives. We've done diaper drives for foster care. We've done food drives. We've done all these things. And so I would say, back to that question, would our community even notice or care if we ceased to exist? I would like to think yes, they would. And so a little self-evaluation, here's what I would say. We're doing a good job. But this series is all about us saying, as a community of faith, let's even do a better job. Let's even be a greater force for good, loving and serving and blessing our community. That's what this series is all about. And so if we are going to love our city well, here's what we must understand. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Get that outline out of your program. Click over there on notes. Follow along with us. If we're going to love our city well, first of all, we got to understand we are sent people. We are sent people. And I mean that. That's directed at Jesus people. If you're here today and you are not a Jesus follower, man, I am so glad that you are at church, that you were willing to check this thing out at the invitation of a friend, or maybe you got something in the mail or heard about it, and so you decided to come check this out. Thank you for being a part of this today. This is a kind of safe place where you can come and go at your own pace. No one's going to force you to do anything or believe anything. But I'm so glad that you're here if you're not a Jesus person. Here's why. Because what I'm going to share for the rest of this message is really about how Jesus people are invited to live. How those of us who say that we're following Jesus, kind of what our lives should look like and what we should be doing. And this is such good information for you if you're not a Jesus person, because, you know, maybe in your office there is a Jesus person that you would say, I don't think they're doing that Jesus thing right. And what I'm going to share with you today can give you ammunition against them. You can go, I went to this church once, and they said if you're a Jesus person, you should be doing this. And let me just tell you, you ain't doing that, all right? So if you're not a Jesus person, you're going to want to take notes today because you can hold your Jesus friends accountable, all right? Or at the very least, you can know what you're going to get into if you ever decide to say, you know what, I think I want to start this journey of faith. So, but if you are a Jesus person, what I mean by this idea that we are sent people is that when we are saved, when we are rescued, when we are, whatever words you want to use, when we are redeemed, reconnected back to God, that moment we choose to say, I don't have it all figured out, but I have this want to in my heart to believe that Jesus did for me what I could never do for myself, and that I'm created by God and loved by God, and he has a good plan for my life, and I don't know what anything means beyond that, but I want to start following Jesus. The moment you say yes to that invitation and just begin to follow, there's no other prerequisites. The moment that you begin to follow, that moment you are saved and rescued, and all, we are not reconnected back to God just so we can sit. We're reconnected back to God so that he can change us, and then we can be sent back out into the world representing him and his great story of forgiveness and redemption. This is what Jesus said to his best friends. Some of the last words he said to them about, you know, what they were going to do. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew 28, it's on your outline, it'll be on the screen. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. If you're taking notes, old school notes with pen and paper, underline that, circle it, star it, go and make disciples. In other words, this is what you are now supposed to do. You're not supposed to sit, you're supposed to go. You're being sent, go out. And then the rest of it is how you do this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when Jesus said go, in other words, he was saying, I am sending you out. All right, you are going to be sent. And make disciples, here's what that simply means, because that's not language we use today. Make disciples simply means help people find and follow Jesus. That's what that means. Help them learn how to live this Jesus way. Help them discover that they are deeply loved by God, that they can be reconnected back to God because of Jesus, not because of how well they follow the rules, not because of how religious they become, but simply because of what Jesus already did. Let people know that it's that simple, that everybody's created by God, everybody's loved by God, everybody's invited into his kingdom. Let people know that, and then teach them how to live in this Jesus way. That's what make disciple means. And this passage of scripture is actually where we get our mission statement as a church. If you wonder what we're all about here, here is our mission statement. This has been our mission statement for 25 years. All right, Eastlake Church is people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we do. In other words, we are sent people out into every sphere of society to do what? We are people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what go and make disciples means. And Jesus said this idea another way to his disciples in John 20, 21. Here's what he said. He looked at him and he said, I give you the gift of peace. In the same way the Father sent me, I am now, say those last two words out loud, sending you. And so in other words, Jesus basically said to his followers, he said, this mission that I have to let everybody know they're loved by God, to let everybody know they can be reconnected back to God through trusting in me and what I will have done on the cross, letting people know that I have a plan and a purpose for them and they're invited into my kingdom, no prerequisites. Everybody's welcome. Anyone can get in, but we got to choose to. He said, go out and share this message. And Jesus said, this was my message, and now I'm giving that message to you. And so that message went to Jesus. Jesus shared that message, and then Jesus passed that message to the church. And what I want to show you is, how is it that we are sent people in our culture today? And we're going to teach you this idea through this word and strategy I want to introduce you to. Write this down in the next statement. We are sent to bless people where we live, work, and play. What does it look like to be a sent person for Jesus? Because that can sound weird, right? Does that mean, like, I got to walk into the office, you know, walk into the lobby, get on the elevator, you know, if I'm going to be a sent person for Jesus? Look at everybody in the elevator. Where are you going? Up or down? Like, don't do that. That's weird, okay? And if you tell them that, tell them you're from another church that's not this one, all right? Please. So, like, what does it look like to share Jesus today? We're going to teach you that through this strategy around this word bless. Because we are meant to be sent out into every sphere of society where we live, work, and play. Those are three specific spaces that we all live in. Our neighborhood, our job, and then those third places. That restaurant or coffee shop where you go in, they know what you already want, and they call you by name. It depending on what stage of life you're in. That could be your kid's soccer field where you're sitting there for way too long. Watching the practice, watching the game, but you're interacting with other people. Whatever that third place, it could be a favorite place for a hobby. But how is it that we can be sent into our world to bless people where we live, work, and play? Because God's plan for reaching and restoring our world has always been to have his people bless the world. To have his people share his story. To have his people represent him by the way they love and the way they serve. Let me show you this idea of that God blesses people so we can bless the world through a couple examples. God blesses us with his unconditional love. If you are a Jesus follower, at some point you came to that realization that you are incredibly loved by God. And God's blessed you with that realization. That you are loved by the creator of the universe. Now, in turn, we are supposed to share that love unconditionally with the world. So God blesses us with his love. Why? So that we, in turn, can bless other people by loving them unconditionally as well. God blesses us with his forgiveness, realizing that we are forgiven in Christ. What we celebrate through communion, what Jesus has done, how much we are loved, and we are blessed with that. Why? So now we, in turn, can forgive people who hurt us. We've been blessed to be a blessing. God blesses us with his joy so that now we, in turn, can bless other people and encourage them, that we can offer a word of encouragement, that we can bring hope. God, listen to this one, because it's true for almost everyone in North America. God blesses us with more than we need when it comes to money and resources. Why? So that we, in turn, can bless people who have real need. See, this has always been the way God works. This is the way his kingdom works. God blesses his people so that they can be a blessing in the world. Let me show you that this has been God's plan from the very beginning, with kind of a foundational passage of scripture for this series. It's found in Genesis chapter 12, very early in the Bible story. The nation of Israel, their story. God makes a promise, a covenant, with this guy named Abraham. And here's what he says to him. This would be a great passage of scripture for us to read out loud. Would you join me? Genesis 12, 2 through 3, ready, begin. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You see, this idea of blessing is a central focus of God's relationship with his people throughout history. And it started again right here with this guy by the name of Abraham. God said, I'm going to show you incredible favor. I'm going to bless you relationally. And when he says, you know, the nations of the world will be blessed through you, he's talking about ultimately the nation of Israel comes from Abraham. And then Jesus comes from that nation, and Jesus and what he does blesses the entire world. Like, God is saying, I am going to run my plan for redemption. It's going to start with you, my friend. And so he's going to bless him relationally with a family. He's in this incredible history and lineage. He's going to bless him financially. that Abraham was going to be incredibly blessed. He's going to bless him spiritually. Abraham would have this special relationship with God. But notice the end of the verse. Ultimately, why is God blessing him? So it can just sit all with Abraham? No. So that Abraham could be a conduit of blessing to the world. That's how God's created you. This is the way his kingdom works. You are meant to be a conduit of blessing, not a grounding of blessing. If you think in terms of electricity, all right, where it's like, okay, here it all comes and there it stops. That's a grounding. We are not meant to ground God's blessings with us. We are meant to be a conduit of God's blessing to the world. And so this idea of God blessing the world through people, it started with Abraham, it went to Jesus, and then Jesus said, now you're going to do that. You're going to be my representatives by the way that you love and live and serve in the world, the church. So this calling has now come to the church, and so if you're a Jesus person, Jesus taught things like this all the time. Look at the next passage of Scripture, Matthew 5, 15 through 16. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, say the next two words out loud, ready, go. Let your good deeds, the way you love, the way you live, the way you serve, shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You see, our good deeds, the way we love, the way we live, the way we forgive, the way we bring encouragement, the way that we bless other people, should cause those where we live, work, and play to say, I don't believe what those crazy Jesus people believe. But man, I'm glad they're in my office. I don't believe what they believe, but I am so glad they moved in next door to us. I don't believe what they believe, but I am so glad I got put in a dorm room next to them. Because they make this place better. Like, man, the way they love, the way they serve, the way they offer words of encouragement, the way that they listen, the way that they give hope. Man, I'm so glad they are here. And so here's a couple what-if questions I just want you to consider. Write this down. We're going to start big and then we're going to make it small. What if every church blessed every city? Let me just think about that. What might happen if every gospel-preaching church, because here's the deal, we're not the only show in town, all right? Like we don't think we're the best church or the only church. There are some great churches in our city, and we believe it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. And so we're not in competition with any other church. I want every church that preaches Jesus to reach as many people as possible. Okay? But we believe God has given us a very specific mission and strategy and a way to live that out in our community. But what if every single church said, you know what one of our top priorities are? One of our top priorities should be that, man, we make our city better. What if every church invested a little bit of their time and a little bit of their resources back into the community that they're in? What might happen? I'll tell you one of the things I think would happen if every church did that. Very quickly, within a short amount of time, I think Jesus people would have a better reputation than they do right now. Because you want to know what most of the people outside the church think of the church as? Unfortunately, they think of Christians and churches as these people that sit on the sidelines of the city in striped referee uniforms and a whistle, and then they're blowing the whistle and telling everybody how bad they're living. That's how most people think of Christians, sadly. But what if every church said, we're going to take off the striped uniform because that's Jesus' job. He's the judge, not us. And we're going to get off the sidelines and get in the game of our city. And we're going to meet the biggest needs that our city has and make a difference in those. What do you think the reputation of Jesus people just might be? I think people will go, man, I don't believe what they believe. But wow, am I glad they're here. And now let me make this real personal for you and me. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? Because it's one thing to talk about it as a church. Some of you were like, yes, we should do this. Ah, crap, I got to talk to that guy, right? Let's make it real here. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? Because Jesus said one of the most important things we should do. Jesus summed up all these Old Testament laws, hundreds of rules the Jewish people had to follow. And he said, let's make this real simple. Here's the two most important things. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second, it's real close. It's just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Like, what if he meant our actual real neighbor? Because we all like the idea of a metaphorical neighbor, right? Like, yeah. But what if he meant the people in our apartment complex, in our condo, on our street? I mean, how might streets and apartment complexes be better and neighborhoods be better if we just started with knowing each other's name and then moved for looking out for one another, caring for one another, serving one another, and blessing one another? How might cities and communities be better? And there's a way we can do this, and it's called the blessed strategy. So here's what we're doing. Today I'm giving you an overview, and then I'm going to hand you a resource that helps you with the first part of this blessed strategy. We're using it as an acronym. It comes from our friends at Community Christian Church in the Chicago area, some great friends of ours. And this idea of, okay, what are these rhythms, these ways of living like Jesus, so that ultimately we can represent Jesus well where we live, work, and play? So what do we mean by blessed? Write this down. I'm going to fly through these real quick. Ready? We have to first begin in prayer. Begin in prayer. I'm going to give you a resource. I'm going to go over this in a moment. Today we're going to spend just a few minutes on what does it look like to begin in prayer. I'm going to give you a challenge to begin praying for one or two people in all three of your spaces where you live, work, and play. So we begin in prayer. Then we listen. We're going to talk about this one next week. Why is it important to listen? I'll tell you why it's important to listen. Everyone look right here. Because everyone you know where you live, work, and play is looking for someone who cares enough to listen. Everyone you know wants somebody in their life who's willing to listen to their hopes, their dreams, their challenges, their story, their pains, and you want someone to do the same for you. You want to know one of the things that made Jesus so compelling? People who were nothing like Jesus really liked Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? People that were nothing like Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He was holy. He was righteous. He was the Son of God. There was no sin in him. And then people who were totally unlike Jesus, unrighteous, full of sin, full of greed, full of anger, full of lust. People that were nothing like Jesus really liked Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was a master listener. He was willing to hear their story. He was willing to accept them right where they were. We're going to talk about that next week. Then here's the E. So we begin with prayer, we listen, and then we eat. Some of you just got really happy. You're like, I didn't know that was a spiritual practice. It is. Praise the Lord, right? But let me define it. Sharing a meal with friends, sharing a meal with neighbors to get to know them and their story, that is a real spiritual practice. Because here's what happens. Significant conversation can happen. You get past the, hey, how's it going, when you're taking out the trash, right? And you actually can get into their story a little bit. You can practice the listen. You can connect on a meaningful level. So that kind of eating is a spiritual practice. Eating a bag of Doritos by yourself at night watching ESPN is not a spiritual practice. That is a satanic practice that I sometimes fall into, okay? Since we're confessing in church. No, but a spiritual practice, it's sharing a meal with people. This is how easy this is. Jesus, again, was a master at this. You know what? The Pharisees, the religious elitists of Jesus' day, you know what they accused Jesus of? They called him a glutton and a drunkard because of how much he partied and hung out with people who were far from God. Now, let me be super clear. Jesus was not a drunkard or a glutton. They just accused him of it because he enjoyed himself so much in the presence of others. And so we begin with prayer. We listen. We eat. And then here's the next one, S. We serve. Then we serve. Notice we haven't told anyone about Jesus yet. We're just living like him. We're just doing what he did. We serve people. We find out what they need, and then we bless them. Because we've been blessed so that we can be a blessing. That's what we're going to do in this series. I'm so excited to tell you that the last week of this series, we are not meeting in here. we are meeting out there in the community. For over 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we are doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of service projects. And I'm going to tell you when we close about a crazy God goal that we have to set history in our community by donating the largest number of community service hours in the history of Chula Vista at one time. That's what we're going to do together. It's going to be amazing. So we serve. And then after we serve, write this down. Here's the last one. Then we story. I believe if you pray for people, you listen to them, you eat with them and share life with them, you serve them and meet their needs, here's what I think naturally happens. Bridges are naturally built to share your Jesus story. Not to force Jesus on them, but as you share life with people, as you meet people's needs, to naturally share, here's what Jesus has done in my life. It's the most important thing to me, and I'd love to just tell you about it. Like, these natural opportunities were created. So what we're going to do together each of the next weeks is walk through these different parts of our BLESS strategy. How are we going to do this together? Now, let me just give you a resource that'll help you to begin with prayer this week. And why is prayer so important? Write this down. Here's why. Because prayer is both how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. Prayer is how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. Prayer is how we say, God, what is it you want me to do? And then now, Lord, give me the courage to do it. Because here's what I know is in front of you and me every single day this week. God opportunities. Divine appointments. There are opportunities around you and around me every day where we live, work, and play to bless people this week. And so here's a crazy prayer I want you to pray every day for the next 30 days. For the month of October, here's what I want you to pray. God, help me see the God opportunities today to bless people. Would you join me in praying that every day for the next 30 days? What would happen if a couple thousand Jesus people in the city of Chula Vista prayed that prayer? God, help me see opportunities to bless people today where I live, work, and play. Man, I think you'd have opportunities every week, every day, to offer an encouraging word, to say a prayer for a hurting friend, to maybe meet an actual need that somebody has. Man, let's pray that prayer. Let's see what God does together. All right, this is what prayer does. Now, here's the resource I want to give you. Everybody reach in your program. If you grabbed one, find there's two of these in every program. If you didn't grab a program because you use the app on tables outside on the patio, there are a bunch of these. This is a bookmark I want you to have, and I want you to put it somewhere. You're going to see it every day during the series. Put it on your desk, put it on your fridge, put it in a book you're reading, put it in the Bible, put it somewhere you're going to see it. And the one side says, do this, and that's what we just went over, the BLESS strategy. Everybody turn to the other side that says, pray this. Because I want to invite you to begin to pray for 1 to 2 people in your life where you live, work, and play. And so we came up with another little acronym for BLESS when it comes to prayer. Now, I don't have the time to go through that. You guys can take that down off the screen. But I want you to take this, and there's a way to pray for, it says body, labor, emotional, social, spiritual. Pray for good health, pray for their hard work, pray for their emotional health, pray for their relationships with their families and friends, and then ultimately pray for their salvation. What do you think could happen? Another what if. If a couple thousand Jesus people, if we all picked 1 or 2 people on our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, the places we hang out, and we just prayed for them by name through this little prayer resource. I'll tell you what, I would want someone praying this over me. And so if you're going, man, I don't know who to pray this for, pray it for me. I'll take it. My guess is the people that live around you and work around you would love for you to be praying for them. You actually cared enough, you know, to say, I believe that there is a God at work in our universe and I want him to be at work for good in your life. I think people who go, I don't even believe that, but yeah, bring that on, right? And so would you join me in praying every day? God, make me aware of the opportunities to bless people today. And then pick 1 or 2 people where you live, work, and play and pray through this resource. I think we'll see God do amazing things. Here's why. Because God is already drawing people to himself. That's his job. We don't make people believe anything. We're not in the job of convincing people. That's not how people come to Christ. They come to Christ because the Holy Spirit is drawing them. And there are people that are becoming interested in God, that are open to saying, man, maybe there is something more than how I've been living. There are people who are open to that right now in your neighborhood, at your school, on your job, and where you play. And let's start praying for them. And let's just see what could happen. And so here's our closing kind of prayer question. Write this down. God, where are you already working? Where I live, work, and play, and how do I join you? God's already working. He's already trying to bring people far from God back to himself, and he wants to use you. He wants to use me, because that's what he does. He blesses us with his love, with his forgiveness, with his grace, so that we can share his love and his forgiveness and grace with other people. And so will you join us in this journey? I want to ask you to do two things. Pray this week. I lied. Three things. Pray those things this week. Be here every week of the series because each week it builds on each other. We're going to talk through L and E, listen and eat, next week. So be here or pray, be here. And then here's the third one. Sign up for a service project. You can use your smartphone right now and you can go to iHeartCV. It's a website we bought. iHeartCV, iHeartChulaVista.com. Take a picture of that, look at it later. But this is where all of our service projects are. Here's what we've been doing. We've been working on this for the last 8 months. We've met with every city official in Chula Vista. We met with the mayor. We met with different people on the city council. Met with the public works office. We met with the superintendent of schools. We met with the chief of police. And we sat, and then we met with dozens and dozens and dozens. Go ahead and leave iHeartCV up. Just leave that up the whole time. We met with dozens of people that have nonprofits that serve and bless our community. And here's what we said to them. We said, what do you need? Because you're doing a great work trying to make our city better. How can we help you? Because we want to mobilize our entire church to bless our city. So what do you need? And so we've been working on this for months. And so there are service projects where you can bring your whole family. And so here's our crazy God-sized goal. Are you ready for it? That on the last weekend of this month, that we are going to donate, because there's about 6,000 of us counting kids and parents and individuals that are here every single week in Chula Vista that go, this is our church. If all of us donated just 2 hours across 3 days, like not 2 hours each day, just 2 hours, you pick which day you're going to do a service project, we would have over 12,000 hours of community service, the largest single community service project in the history of Chula Vista, and we are going to donate over $100,000 of our resources into those service projects. So if you give around here to Cannonball, our wave of compassion, this is one of the things that you give to. Remember in Cannonball, we said we want to love our city better than we ever have before. This is part of that. And if this is your church and you don't give around here yet, start. Join us. This is the kind of stuff we're doing together. This is Kingdom of God stuff. And so thank you for believing in the mission of this place. And we want to give you a shirt so you can iHeartCV and rep it this month. So here's how you get a shirt. You got to sign up for a service project. Once you sign up for a service project, out on the patio, we have thousands of shirts out there. You will be sent an email that says, yes, I signed up. All you got to do is show them the email that you signed up or in however many people you signed up in your family, and they'll give you a shirt for everybody because we want to wear these on the weekend we serve, and you can wear them as much as you want over this next month as well. So we'd love to give you a shirt. This would also be a really cool thing to invite your friends to that aren't even a part of our church. Because I have some friends that they're like, dude, I know you're a pastor. First of all, that's weird. Because they're like, I'm friends with a pastor. And they think if they walk in this door, lightning is going to strike them. And so they're like, I'm like, dude, come hang out sometime. They're like, you don't want that to happen, you know. But I know that if I invite them, hey, my family and I are leading one of these service projects. Here's what we're doing to bless our city. Would your family like to join our family on that Saturday or Sunday doing this service project? They're going to say yes. And so I'm inviting some of my friends that are far from God, that haven't even come to church here yet, because, you know, they think lightning's going to strike them if they do, to go, hey, why don't you help us serve our city? And so maybe you even want to invite some friends to do it. It's wide open. Everybody's welcome, okay? So that's what we're doing. Two other things. We're going to stand and pray. We'd love to pray for you this week. Inside your program is this connection card. If you want to get more information about stuff, fill that out. But if we could pray for something going on in your life, we'd love to bless you that way and pray for you. You can always write something on there, drop it in the drop boxes. Also, thank you to everybody that gives around here. Our giving is going to make a huge difference in our city over the next month. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. So thank you for being a part of that. You can drop your giving in those drop boxes as well. I think that's it. Will you stand with me? And I don't walk out of here. Some of you are like, stand and run. Don't do it. Because I want us to pray a prayer together. I see some of you walking out. I'm talking to you, sucker. Just called you out. All right. We're going to pray a prayer together. Put it up on the screen. This is a prayer I wrote that says, God, thank you for blessing us. Help us be a blessing to other people. We're going to pray this, and then we'll walk out. Would you pray this out loud with me? Ready? Begin. Dear Lord Jesus, every good and perfect gift is a blessing from you. And you have blessed me with so much, and I ask that you would use me to be a blessing to others. Make me a channel of your blessing, a channel through whom your love and peace and joy flow out from you through me to others. May I be your hands to bless others where I live, work, and play. May I speak words of life and encouragement to those around me this week. Lord, may you increase in my life and may I decrease, so that the blessings you pour in me run through me to others, drawing them closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.